Hey everybody, fantastic episode of the Daily Bone podcast today. We discuss Ethereum NFTs making a comeback and the relationship that Blur and Blast have to the market returning. We also talk about crypto prices and where things are going on the kind of majors side of the crypto market. Last but not least, we're joined by Mike, the founder of Planet Mojo, to talk about all things Web3 gaming and the Planet Mojo plans for 2024. We partnered with Planet Mojo and Polygon on today's show. Hope you enjoy it. On YouTube, and it's okay. Here we go. Now we're live. Hey, sorry to the YouTube audience that's just starting this video. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast. Friday, April 26th. Going to be discussing Ethereum NFTs making a scorching hot comeback, according to Clemente, and where things could go from here. Crypto prices holding up despite gloomy macro report. Very gloomy. Gloomy. And we'll be joined by Mike, the founder of Planet Mojo, to talk about all things Web3 gaming and their plans for 2024. Clemente, tell me about the Ethereum NFT comeback and why all the bottom signals were out to lunch.
Well, we saw, 34% pump on Mutant Apes in one day is wild. Objectively is absurd. The fact they've done like a 2X in the last 7 days. I call that hot. I call that steamy hot. Borderline suspicious. Borderline suspicious, which I've been off of being. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if it's like a psychotic episode or something that I'm having, but I'm like so locked in on this thesis that we'll talk about later on in the show. But I'm excited. I'm like fired up either way. So we'll see.
Well, you're making me want to get to that part of the show. So why don't we just let's just cook here. Signal, you can hit this weather report and we will get to the ETH NFTs are back segment. Very excited to hear about this. Let's do it.
Absolutely, Pio. It is Friday. It is April 26th. That ETH market coming out 44 million. Nice little number there. Solana at 6.7, Ordinals at 13. On the market leaders, you've got Ethereum, it's Yuga Assets. They've just pumped so hard. You've got Mutants. They're up 35% to 3.3 ETH. And B and the Apes, they're up to 17 ETH floor. Over on Solana, most collections, however, have been down on the day with low volume with Pycanians. They're down to 4.1. So Mutant Mon, that's also down to 2.9. So then finally, over on Ordinals, Prometheans is absolutely cooking. They're up 40% to 0.08, almost 0.09 floor now, as their Rune airdrop announced for Monday, and even got Ink, the PFP collection, that's up to 0.02. 5 BTC after announcing a 10 million raise this week. On a crypto roundup, the majors of breach chopped despite the shaky macro conditions and a second straight day of BTC ETF outflows. Bitcoin is at 64,300, Ethereum at 3,113, Solana at $144. On the meme coin side, the majors were mostly even on the day following the rest of the crypto market, but you do have some small caps like PopCap, that's up 50% to 512 market cap. Egg, that is also up to 404 million market cap, and Mannequin also up for a third straight day to a 200 million market cap. Over the past 24 hours, firstly, Consensus has revealed they have been served with a Wells notice and alleging that they are operating as an unlicensed broker through their MetaMask wallet. They have since filed a lawsuit against the SEC in attempts to have a court declare that Ethereum is not a security and therefore this should just be thrown out. Secondly, there's some much good needed news on the payment side of things. Stripe announced it will once again start accepting stablecoin payments this summer after terminating Bitcoin support 6 years ago. The payment processor will accept USDC via Solana, Ethereum, and Polygon with on-chain settlement and instant conversion to fiat. And then lastly, CyberConk's announced the launch of their decentralized Rune slated for this coming Monday, with 91% of the allocation going to Promethean holders, 4.5% going to Ordinal communities and to the launch partners. And the CyberConk's team ponied up 500K at the halving to secure this number two Rune slot for decentralized. That is all for the weather report. Lots is cooking. Let's hear about Clemente's tin foil hat theories. Back to you all in the studio.
Well, I love that Stripe story. Crypto's back. I love that little line that he dropped at the beginning of the tweet. That's a lot of fun and very interesting. And I was actually talking to somebody about Stripe recently because Stripe's like a very valuable company and has been for quite a while. And I didn't totally get why it was so valuable, but it's pretty interesting what they do. But anyway, we're not talking about Stripe right now. Daily Bone newsletter is emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. First story via BTC, VIA BTC sells the Epic Sat mined from the halving block at auction for, get this, 33.3 bitcoins, $2.1 million. I mean,
I don't know. All the sat people are going to come at me, but I'm like, dude, I think I out of those two over the next 20 years, I got to take the 33.3 Bitcoins. But hey, who knows? Who knows? Maybe the Epic Sats are really the thing. Next one, Pantera Capital is looking to raise more than $1 billion for a new crypto fund. They're not going to be buying whatever bullshit you have, but hopefully they raise the $1 billion. Next story, Alien CryptoPunk number 635 sold today for $4,000. Well, this was yesterday. I think we broke it during the show, but hey, this is from yesterday.
2 days ago, yeah.
2 days. What?
Oh, yesterday. Well, this happened yesterday during the show, breaking
during
news.
During the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, it was during that just shows how fast time passes. But anyway, it's the fourth highest U.S. dollar sale ever. Third Alien sold this year. This makes sense that it would be in the newsletter today, ladies and gentlemen, because this did happen after yesterday's newsletter went out. This had no impact, virtually no impact on CryptoPunk's floor. Only four punks sold since. The floor is at 39 Ethereum. Very interesting. Next story, Morgan Stanley explores letting its 15,000 brokers solicit their customers to invest in Bitcoin ETFs. Let me tell you, they're going to be doing more than exploring this once they start actually generating revenue off of it. So very cool to see that. And it's still, you know, we're still less than 100 business days into these ETFs trading live. Anyway, those are your stories from the Daily Bone newsletter. Subscribe at dailybones.com. First story, ETH NFTs are back. I want to hear what Clemente thinks about this. I also want to walk through how I think the kind of narrative can shift in a heartbeat, which I kind of feel like it is right now. Clemente, walk us through what you're thinking about here.
So, I mean, when you look at the price action on ETH NFTs in the last 24 hours, we have Bored Apes up 16%, Mutants up 34%, Azuki up 12%, you know, Pudgy Penguins up 8%. But basically, the biggest movers are Yuga Labs. Moonbirds up 34%. Like that should tell you, hey, something weird is here.
Moonbirds have a 0.68 floor price.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but they were down like a 0.4.
So Bodagos were more expensive than Moonbirds?
No.
Close.
Not right now. We're at like 0.3. 0.4.
Right. But I mean when they were at 0.4. Anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Like very close.
So when you look at either way, it feels like something is coming for Bored Apes. Like there is literally, PO, there is no explanation for the pump over the last 24 hours other than the vibes are back. And the other explanation was Gordon is coming back as CEO or like joining the helm. I'm like, dude, he tweeted out 3 days ago that his health was getting worse. What, like, what are you smoking right now? But something is coming. Right. Yuga Labs, in like we saw a month and a half ago, Moonbirds did a 2x before the Yuga Labs acquisition. So I'm not necessarily calling this insider trading, but something is coming. The logical explanation I have, and this ties specifically to Blast, is that we're going to see incentivized bridging over to Blast. An example of that would be, and this is very tinfoil hat, the chance of this happening are sub 10%. Because no one else is talking about this, I feel like an idiot because I'm screaming from the rooftops and people are like, dude, this guy's lost it. But the way I'm thinking about it would be Pac-Man goes and he basically says, hey, for every Bored Ape that moves over to Blast, the bridges to Blast will give you 300 gold. And you bridge to Blast. And when you bridge to Blast, you can farm gold. You can farm points. You can do whatever you want. No. By incentivized fractionalization, market making, interacting, and it's like a quadruple whammy on farming.
Dude, so there's a technical flaw with your logic here.
Maybe wrong mic, Nick, and also camera focus just a pinch, and then we're really excited to hear what you have to say.
I'm coming through the Rodecaster.
Okay, maybe the volume's a pinch high?
It's on automatically. Okay, here we go. How about this? Is this good?
Yeah, that sounds good.
And I, dude, the focus is the focus. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, everyone wants to see, like, your hair looks great, for example, today.
Okay, great. I don't know what's going on with the freaking focus. You want, like,
now you're in focus.
Okay.
When you go, like, close.
Would you like to discuss it for 5 more minutes?
Usually,
you like to, but yeah, you can go ahead and talk about Blast and Clemente's theory.
There's a technical issue with the theory here. First, Bored Ape Yacht Club did a whole thing with Magic Eden with their ETH marketplace. Let me finish before I explain that, before you jump in to try and say that I'm wrong. You need a contract on the other side of this thing. I guess a layer two doesn't. Am I wrong about that? Like a layer two?
It's still on Optimism though. So there may still be like some considerations to have. It is still EVM compatible. So I don't know the technical aptitude.
You need a contract over there to bridge. Like you would need a counter contract on like the same thing. Think about like the way that Pudgy Penguins has bridging is that they used layer zero, right? So they partnered with that company in order to facilitate that contract being replicated to other chains. So you end up needing to deploy it and having an official contract address for each of these different contracts. The problem being the Bored Ape Yacht Club doesn't have control over their contract at this point in time. So there's a whole other conversation about them having switching to a royalty-based contract and incentivizing people to do that. But why the hell would that happen on Blur's L2? Like, why would that happen after Blur supposed like has not helped these different projects by essentially forcing the elimination of royalties or accelerating that process? There's no reason that that would actually happen. So that part of your thesis is just horribly wrong. And there's no way that I could ever see that happening. They're not going to incentivize. I just don't think that that's happening.
Can't anyone, and again, I'm not the technical guy here. So that
that's clear.
Ray is saying that anyone can make a bridge contract for any asset, by the way. And he said the royalty thing would be the issue, but
Anybody theoretically can make a bridging contract, but it needs to be the whole point. Anyone can make a replica of an NFT.
We actually saw a lawsuit in which an organization lost for doing that exact thing.
It follows the exact same logic. Yeah, I can steal your images, make another contract, and put it on Ethereum. But organizationally, I have not verified that I'm the one that created that. So yeah, Blur could create a bootleg version of Bored Ape Yacht Club, but it wouldn't mean that it is Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Sure. Well, look, I'm actually not too whether or not that happens.
What percentage of your thesis did I just destroy?
Well, the Bored Apes one 5%. Is like when you look at the extreme, right? That's like the most extreme scenario is Pac-Man does that. A less extreme scenario is Pac-Man launches Blur on Blast. And objectively speaking, is going to turn the money printer or the gold printer on in terms of incentives. Right now, we saw almost a 3x in trading volume in the last 24 hours on Blast NFTs. They did less than $150,000 in trading volume. Blast NFTs did. You don't think Pac-Man, when he launches Blur on Blast, is going to at least 10x that volume. And if that happens, Nick, that makes the inherent collections that are on there right now, they are going to absolutely print. So if that doesn't happen,
that part of the thesis, I think you're reasonable. You've made 3x. I've watched your trading journal. You've made 3x on what a blast. Well, you didn't trade Blastopians.
He didn't buy Blastopians. New Blast City. We deployed about 0.6 ETH into New Blast City and a couple Blastopians last night on the back of Clemente's paper trades. I think he's spot on here with this.
This part of the thesis, I am not in disagreement with.
I think you're spot on that there could potentially be something coming. I don't agree with your thesis over apes bridging over to Blast, but I do agree with your thesis that I think potentially something is coming. There's just been too much of a strong cook. And I agree that this is the same pattern that we always see when like certain collections wrote the book on basically insider trading. And we all know it happens in this space. So like no one here is out to lunch when we say that this kind of trading pattern, when it happens, there's probably news coming, but I don't agree. It's the news where you think that they're going to bridge over.
Yeah, those two can be both happen where Yuga Labs has something coming up and Blur on Blast launches. The only other thing I'll say is like the everyone on Blast right now is so focused on farming this gold. They're obsessed with farming it, but they're doing it through Gamblefy. They're doing it through these random ass gaming projects. You're doing all these things, but they forget that Pac-Man's sole focus. This guy ate OpenSea's lunch in 6 months through his Blur NFT trading. This guy's been talking some big game. He's been intentionally doing a media tour the last 3 weeks. He was on with Bankless. He did a different podcast at NFT NYC, and then he did one more. He's been talking some big game. He's like, I'm building
on our show. This is fucked up, dude.
But I feel like I'd asked you if you wanted to have him on, Nick, and you were like, no, I don't think so.
That never happened.
So I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and in all of the interviews, for some reason, they don't ask him about the NFT side of it. And it's really weird. So I don't know if the interviewers are out to lunch necessarily, or if Pac-Man beforehand is telling them that, like, hey, I don't want to talk about NFTs in particular. But he's been saying he wants to build the Robin Hood of NFTs. He wants to have a Coinbase level impact on how NFTs are used. So he's been talking some big game, and he delayed the Blur launch by, was it 2 months, to end of April instead of launching it at the start of Blast. So knowing Pac-Man, knowing how he's traditionally teased big announcements, I think something massive is coming. But the only other thing that I'm thinking through is like with the current collections that are on Blast right now, there's just not enough there to get people really excited about volume. So that's why I was like, okay, maybe there's a bridge to Blast. Or the only other thing is that he takes the launchpad approach, which he partners up with four collections, right? And he does, remember Art Gobblers year and a half ago? That mint being tradable on Blur for 0% royalties was what led to Blur's initial adoption. So I'm thinking that there's a possibility that Pac-Man has some absolute cooks coming out in the next few weeks when he launches Blur, restructures the incentive process, and then has back-to-back-to-back mints that launch and real prominent collections launching on there.
I think you could be right about that. I think your play makes a ton of sense. Like, look, they're having exposure to this ecosystem is something that's worthwhile. The hype was like crazy for a minute, then just completely died down, went away. And I think you hopping in at a bottom in the cycle makes a ton of sense. So I'm rooting for you. And I think that this trade, like the level of exposure that you need, or like the amount that you need in order to participate, is relatively low here. So why wouldn't you?
Real quick, if we reflect back on when Art Gobblers was released, ladies and gentlemen, this was the flagship project released by Paradigm and Blur at the time. It's now near zero. It's at 0.089 ETH after being up, if I recall, near 20 on like the first trading day. Did Paradigm like seed this project with liquidity? Yeah.
It was something to do. I can't remember the details of it, but Paradigm definitely had something to do with Art Gobblers at the time. But I wanted to ask Clemente then if that's your thesis, how are you implementing it to be able to take advantage of this? If you think this is going to play out over the next couple of weeks,
so
what buttons are you pressing?
Yeah, I bought these New Blast City. They're up. So I don't know if necessarily it's as good of a buy now, but I bought like, this is at 0.07 right now. I bought at 0.03. It's a 3.3K collection, so it's relatively small. So market cap speaking, it's pretty interesting. It's still potentially cheap, but I like buying NFTs on Blast in general is just something I recommend people doing just to get used to it. You don't have to put a substantial amount of capital, but it's just going through the motion of doing it. It's pretty seamless. Blastopians are also an interesting buy. I was talking about them at 0.04, and right now I don't know if this is worth it, but these are being priced in a way where people are like, hey, if I put $400 into a Blastopian and then I fractionalize it and then I put it into Wasabi, like people are literally using this as a quadruple.
This is the same 404 manner, though, is that we've been talking about for so long, is like you're now farming multiple points and a token that's attached to an NFT. So you're getting gold, you're getting blast points, and you're getting wasabi by fractionalizing this NFT. For $400, you're getting exposure to three of the largest farms on Blast. The other thing that Nick had said earlier too was like, it seemed like Blast had all this hype and then it kind of slowed down. It's largely because there wasn't rewards right away. Like that's what drew, like that's what pushed a lot of people away, was like they didn't get free money when all of a sudden Blast was turned on. And now it's like gold is going to basically give you free money. There's supposedly a $2 billion airdrop coming in the next 30 days per Cyrus and Stats. And when you look at people who do polls where they're like, where are you farming right now? What are you doing? No one's choosing Blast. And it's been like, my entire thesis on it is like, just find the easy farms where you can just get as much gold as possible in as short of time or with as little capital and just go all in.
So what's
and
the
also, sorry, I just want to add as well, like what I really like about what Clemente's homework here is that a lot of the Blast NFTs, like New Blast City, Blastopians, what he's talking about, the reason why they're priced so low is because previous to this announcement, none of the NFT projects over on Blast were getting gold. So people have not been touching them. But if you are actually in the discords of some of these teams like New Blast City, what they were doing was like, okay, we're not going to get gold, but how can we get our community gold by doing other things? So you'll see them using District 1. You'll see them trying to increase their TBL. Like you're seeing them trying to have all this activity in order to position themselves so that when gold does happen in the future, which we now know it's going to happen, they are positioned to be able to get it. So they've already been running this activity. So Clemente is absolutely spot on here. And these, and I don't even think that potentially, like they've even run their, like they've actually run their course in terms of how high these can go, because we still don't have the news of what the incentive will be. And I think people are still sleeping on this.
I think they're sleeping on it tenfold. Like look at gold distribution too. And if you actually read the documents, at the very bottom, there's an annotation that notes that tokens and NFTs will be getting gold distribution, and it just hasn't been shared the allocation yet. So if you actually look at gold distribution right now, a 3333 collection means in theory, each NFT will get 3 gold for like these literal smallest rank 1000 dApp. So if you look at something like Blastopians, which is dominating the Blur or Blast NFT market right now, in theory, that should be able to get you a decent allocation for something that's now doing triple farms, has a dApp, has fractionalization, covers tokens, covers NFTs, and hits the other side of it. That should get you a pretty nice kickback.
So is Blastopians the best play to have exposure for this right now?
So Nick, what I'm hearing in the weeds is that Blastopians are the punks of Blast.
Actually?
That's what people have been tweeting. I'm not lying. It makes no sense. I hold 2. I bought them yesterday.
You say it makes no sense. People are like commenting on the art. None of that stuff matters if like the powers. Well, yeah, if the powers that be, in other words, like the people that are incentivized to make Blast and Blur like just a strong product in the market, seed it with liquidity, then the price is going to go up, and that's all anybody's going to react to anyway. Yeah,
but no. But the price is going to go up. Like you have to look at what is the macro incentivization here. It's gold. So you have to look at like what have these Blast NFT projects been doing to incentivize activity on the Blast chain in order that their community gets gold before this announcement came out. And that's why I think New Blast City, Blastopians, these kind of NFT projects, they're the ones that are standing out. This is nothing to do with the art. This is all about how to maximize gold.
Okay, so we got 1 month left. How do I maximize gold in as few clicks as possible?
I just say buy a New Blast City, buy Blastopians. People have been shilling Pluto Cats, but that's at a 1.2 ETH floor. So I think those are the cheap ways to get exposure, Nick. And people are saying like, I hate farming.
You literally buy it?
Yeah, just buy it. Super easy.
Well, Nick, there's even an easier way for you too. You could join Fantasy Top as a hero and not click any buttons.
Fantasy Top as a hero?
Fantasy.top. It's a card game where it's like fantasy sports for influencers. So it's based on you get a card, you've met the criteria, and what they'll do is they'll just give you points, kickback on your cards that sell, and blast gold. You do nothing. Other people just sell and buy your likeness.
So it's like friend tech?
To an extent. It's more of a gamified friend tech. Because it does have algorithms behind it to base like fantasy sports style based on your social media presence.
So Nick could probably, I mean, he'd probably be relatively in demand.
Well. Yeah, he would do very well.
Nick, this seems like something that you should do.
It says claim paused for mainnet opening comeback.
Mainnet was supposed to launch yesterday. They got DDoSed, so they're working through that to launch the app. Once the app is live, I will send you the full instructions on how to become a hero.
Well, let's go, okay? You know, dude, this is what I deserve. This is the type of thing that I got 20,000 or whatever from Pac-Moon. I got to do a little more farming. I got a few days left in order to actually slide in at the last minute. And I'm still struggling to figure out what I'm going to do here. But I'm still ranked like 100 just for a single tweet reply.
A reply. But Nick, I want to give you a couple more things you can do here that are wicked easy. You can provide liquidity in USDB, so stablecoin liquidity. And what I would do with that is so that you're not subject to the risk of ETH and impermanent loss. They have what's called Orbit Lending. This one is number 6 on total gold. They have over 500,000. And what's wild is there's not that many people doing this. USDB also inherently earns 8%. So you can lend it out, farm gold, earn 8% on just stablecoins. So you're getting gold on top of it, an 8% APY, and it's a single button click. Deposit. That's it.
So I have some ETH that I had moved over to Blast. I don't know where it went. I have money
somewhere.
On
Go to this. I actually helped a few people walk through this. If you didn't fully bridge it after you sent it, what's going to happen is it's going to be on that homepage. You click bridge. I just sent you the second link. That bridge will show your history. And what you'll have to do is just migrate it from testnet to mainnet. Then you get the points and your ETH will be available on Blast.
Real quick. So what in 6 months, what is the relationship between Blur and Blast? If everything works out the way that they want it to, like how do those two platforms both operate?
Why would Blur not begin to support Blast NFTs? That's my entire thought.
Right. But I mean, like, why wouldn't everything just go to Blast?
It's the contract migration like Nick talked about. There's still inherently some levels of difficulty there. What's more interesting for me is something like Blend to become powered by Blast. Because then what happens is when you take out a loan, it's a bridge contract versus lending directly on there, which then eliminates gas, earns the 8% APY on the BUSD. And there's more things. Like I think the NFTFi side of things moving to Blast is where it gets wicked interesting to me. And when to come at this point, these interviews with Pac-Man have been like wildly bullish. As someone who wants to build multiple dApps on NFTFi and hasn't been hyper-focused on just purely NFTs, but has mentioned his end state is to provide a variety of different ways to financialize this industry. And I think that makes more sense on a Blast where the ecosystem can have much cheaper gas fees. So for like retail consumer mass transactions make more sense. That's where it clicks for me versus Clemente's out to lunch take of bridging apes. I think that's just banana land.
Well, but I mean, we stopped talking about it, but the fact that apes are pumping probably is some sort of insider thing because it's not even only apes, by the way. It's just how this space works because these are private companies that don't have to disclose information, but there's publicly available assets. So anytime anything happens, the insider pump follows. Clemente, you were going to say something?
Yeah, the only thing that's coming from is from the fact that there's just a lack of quality projects on Blast. There's like Pac-Man can only incentivize so much. The problem with Pac-Man's launch and the flaw with it was he rushed this launch to Blast and incentivized with this big bang competition that the NFT projects that launched on there were rushed to do it. So there's a lack of quality projects on there right now. So that's the only problem that he's trying to solve, which is why I was like, okay, the bridge to Blast makes sense. What I'm curious for, and this is why I bought a WASI for 0.5 ETH again, is I'm like, maybe he's having a conversation with actual founders and he's like, hey, you should bridge your entire collection to Blast.
Well, that's what would make sense to me because it's just better. I mean, everyone talks about why Solana is the best chain for NFTs and it basically is right now, Solana and Bitcoin, but like it would make a lot of sense for either Base or Blast to take all of the kind of NFT market share away from layer one Ethereum. Nobody likes to pay exorbitantly high fees. Like, why would you want to pay fees? So it does make a lot of sense to me for NFTs to go to Blast. That's also why when people are like,
you have exposure to ETH because you have Pudgy Penguins, or you have exposure to ETH because you have, you know, XYZ NFT. I'm like, yeah, kind of. I kind of have it, but I really just have exposure to the NFT. And if all of a sudden, you know, nobody's interested in ETH anymore, the founders of that NFT could just bridge to another chain, and then I'm on that chain. That's the way that I think about it. And it would make sense to me to move things to a Blast or to a Base. And both of those are kind of brand name entities. You got the number one publicly traded crypto company in many ways, Coinbase, right? The kind of blue chip American crypto organization, went public, blah, blah, blah. Great CEO. And then you have the young upstart, you know, disruptive MIT dropout, blah, 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 Blur Blast situation. So I don't know. Any closing thoughts on this topic of conversation, Clemente, anybody?
Yeah, the last thing I'll say is the only other thing I'm watching for, Pio, is what happens to the Blur token. I obviously have a bag of this, and the price action's been gnarly. Alts have been getting pretty horrendously attacked, but last year when Pac-Man announced the announcement was coming, we saw Blur do a 4x in the month leading into this season 2 drop. We're not seeing that same price action, and Pac-Man's been eerily quiet. So there's just so many unknowns, but we'll probably by Monday's show, we might know a little bit more. But
ultimate curveball would be burn Blast or burn Blur to bridge it to whatever Blast native token is, instead of just rewarding them in that native token. Keep rewarding them in Blur and cause a deflationary mechanic to move it over there for gas fees, instead of rewarding them in the local gas fee of Blast. That would giga send the entire eco. Like, I'm talking rocket fuel.
Because it would be an incentive that also reduces the supply of Blur. Like, it's something people actually want to do. It reduces the supply of Blur. And then why else?
Reduce the supply of Blur, gives you incentives for Blast, and then also creates the only way to circulate that Blast token would be through that burn instead of free money airdrops. So it requires the action to be taken, which also, in theory, action taken means that's a way to get an airdrop. And now that's why we've seen like claim pages and more, because that's where a lot of people are leaning versus just airdropping to your wallet. It would be extremely interesting, and I think that would be an incentive to make people who staked Blur be happy. We don't know what it is. It just keeps saying redacted. Right now, it does use ETH as the gas form. They could theoretically change that, which, in my opinion, if you then have more deflationary mechanics through that. They've also said gas fees go back to people who create developers on the app, 50% of fees, which would make sense for that token. Now you have a hyper incentivization to continue to build on that and deflationary mechanics to burn it, which to me is like, holy shit, this sounds great.
Somebody asked, Bachelor Society said, how are normies going to find their way to Blast? The answer there is that they are not.
How are normies going to find their way to any NFTs that we're talking about right now? Like, it's
they're not.
Nearly impossible.
Yeah, they're not.
We struggle to even find the right marketplaces that are selling half the Blast NFTs. Yeah, like, I aimed for like 0.02 higher yesterday because I forgot there was another marketplace that doesn't aggregate. And we went to it and we're like, oh shit.
It's like literal magic that we end up with money from these random activities that we're doing. Like, tweet about something called Pac Moon and suddenly like $20,000 ends up in your wallet. What? Like, what? I don't understand. And then I take that money and I put that into a captain and probably some other stupid garbage that I've bought recently.
Have you bought stupid garbage?
I feel like I have. I just feel like there was more.
Hey, you bought some pups, remember?
Oh yeah, so but that's not on ETH. I don't know where. I definitely did some other stuff with the.
You bought Meme Land, the meme token.
So I bought the meme token.
Did you stake that, Nick? And then did you? So you got. Did you stake it? So you got your stakes. And then did you go in for the RSIC allocation?
I did stake and I did set everything. Sorry, in terms of RSIC, that's not available yet, right?
Not yet.
So yesterday they had a cutoff point where you could increase how much of your stakes do you want to swap for future RSIC, and you could only do a maximum of 80%, and the default was 69%. And they had a whole sort of gamenomics around how much you should allocate in order to get your future allocation of ASIC. So ASIC is out, by the way, but this is for the MemeLand partnership with ASIC.
So what's the, I forget what the website is that I have to go to because it's not
MemeLand.com.
Dude, I mean, this is just like, this is ridiculous. I've no, how many stakes are you up to, Easy?
I'd have to double check. I think like almost a million.
A million stakes?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have 55,000.
Nice. Yeah, but I've also been doing it for like the second I could, like 9 days or something now. And then I did all the challenges, which gave me basically 2x my entire value of it. So
yeah, I took a lot more clicks. I may actually have 100,000, but whatever the situation is. Yeah, I didn't want to do these tweets.
I just deleted them right away. I was like, yeah, screw these.
Okay. Well, anyway, people get notifications when I tweet, and I just don't want like
Nick cannot do farming tweets.
No.
That is preposterous. Nick, are you going to sell your CryptoPunk?
Good question.
Great question.
At the bottom right now.
Before it gets bridged to blast.
Yeah, they're getting bridged, dude.
Okay. No, I'm. I have not.
Hold strong. You have a number in mind. Don't falter from the plan.
You know, I've said the same thing to you, Easy.
And I faltered from the plan.
You have faltered from the plan. Big mistake. Potentially, unless crypto's dead, who knows? You know
what? I think it's bullish that punks haven't rallied. So you got apes that have rallied, mutants have rallied, moonbirds have rallied. Probably even the kennel dogs have probably even rallied at this point, yeah, but punks haven't. And that's a bullish signal. So if this is the bottom, just hold strong. Hold strong because they don't have that correlation to each other right now, even though they're in the same ecosystem.
You don't want them to have a correlation. Like you want them to be like the dead artist sort of approach, like that guy Noah back in the day said. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that Yuga Labs owns that asset technically. Any thoughts, Nick?
Dude, I'm just looking through my vault of NFTs. There's no accountability in this space, man. The freaking influencers that are like, this is the future. We went through every single one and all the people in our audience saying this is the future. I just look at all this garbage that I have and how much, dude, everything is a fucking rug. Like everything involved with most of these people is just a complete rug. How is this legal? This is ridiculous. I'm looking at literally everything here. Animetus, remember those?
I haven't thought about that one in probably over a year. Animetus, wow. Yeah, what happened to that?
It's now 0.01 or whatever.
That makes sense.
Actually 0.005 or something like that.
That makes sense to me. The last sale on the Gucci cloth from 10KTF is 0.01.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but that's because you can't do anything with it now. The burn is passed.
Got it.
Yeah, so I missed that. I look at all the ETH that I've lost. Visitors, if I'm a degen.
How about Adam Bomb Squad? I saw one of those over there.
I kept one just for the heck of it.
What's the last sale on those?
The best offer is 0.01.
Got it. That makes sense.
Nick. Savage Droids. This was like these guys now are run the Mebit DAO.
What's Prement at?
Prement
0.02.
0.02.
Yeah, Nick. I think ETH gas is low right now. If I were you, I'd actually like floor a lot of these, and you could probably I'm being honest.
Probably get half an ETH.
You could probably get like half an ETH from it, and then you plow that right into a
blast.
Nick, it's not a bad idea, man. The other approach would literally just be to hold these things forever. And like a decade from now, people like go back to the original stuff from the first couple of years and there's value, like, you know, as if it's a baseball card that's like 50 years old.
I mean, you bought this thing for 1.9 ETH, dog. It's time to let go. Harvest these losses.
It's time to let go.
That's like not a...
Can you still get those losses?
Yeah.
What do you mean get those losses?
Like, I thought there's a time period in which it like expires.
What do you mean?
No, you've lost money on it. You've lost. Hard stop.
What are you talking about?
All right.
Yeah, you, Nick, you've lost $6,000.
There's no statute of limitations on your losses, brother.
Yeah. Shake it off. Shake it off. Take off. Take the loss.
Do a lap. Let's do a lap.
Do a lap.
Let's do a lap.
Nick's ladies and gentlemen, if you're just listening, I'm watching the life bleed out of Nick while he's sitting in this chair looking at this portfolio of assets that are all down 90%+. Yeah, man, it's how much did I
spend on the Rug Radio stuff here? Faces of Web 3, those are all in my wallet. I got them all over the place. I own like 100 of these things. But we were like on the show live buying it and just have literally just thrown that money. Oh, how much is that Jack Butcher trademark that I bought for frickin'? I think I spent 0.16 on it. It's
0.16. The trademark
is the best.
You also have a rare, so I think you'd actually be able to sell that for 0.2. Jack Butcher stuff holds value.
What's this point?
I was gonna say, Jack Butcher stuff is definitely holding more value.
I'm not gonna frame it. I should just get rid of that. So what am I doing? Why am I still holding the Sappy Seal Clemente?
Don't sell that. Don't sell that.
Oh my God.
Literally, don't sell that. What are we talking about?
That's gonna bridge to blur and make me a millionaire?
No, just don't fade the community. Don't fade a cult. Just let it cook. Nick, just let that cook. Let it marinate. Put it in the smoker. We'll talk about it in a year.
Out of everything that you've mentioned, I wouldn't like the Sappy Seal's low on the list of things I would liquidate for sure.
Everything else though.
Everything else. Anyway, we'll return to the Nick portfolio analysis in a future episode. We'll have to see how things play out. I'm going to go ahead and say 90%+ of that stuff is not going to move. But look, we have Mike, the founder of Planet Mojo, on the show now. Very excited. Partnered with Planet Mojo on today's show. Mike, welcome.
Hey, GM. Thanks for having me here.
Our pleasure, man. Really excited to have you guys on the show. Excited to partner with you guys. For people that aren't familiar with Planet Mojo, obviously the Twitter account is on the Twitter Spaces stage for those of you that are just listening on Twitter. But Mike, can you give the listeners a 60-second overview of what Planet Mojo is and what the goal is for the game?
Be delighted to. 60-second spiel coming. Planet Mojo is an interoperable Web3 gaming ecosystem created by veterans of LucasArts, myself and some others, EA, Activision, and other great companies. We're backed by Animoca Brands, Merit Circle, and others, and we're building on Polygon, and our vision is to create a sustainable and growing catalog of interoperable games for the next generation of gamers who can empower players' future by allowing them to own their in-game assets and have a say in the project's future direction.
Hell yeah. And I'd love to hear, the backgrounds of you and the other people involved with the game. Also love to hear the Polygon factor. You know, we're partnered with Polygon also. Let's talk a little bit about the Mojo token. So it's ticker MOJO. How does this, play into the game?
Yeah, well, token has just come live within the last few weeks, and the Mojo token is really at the heart of the Planet Mojo ecosystem. You can use it right now in our marketplace and in our in-game stores, where you can get a major discount on on-chain and in-game items. And very soon, we're going to be rolling out some amazing, cool new programs within the games and experiences, including, here's a little alpha, planting and harvesting, which is going to be our form of kind of staking. There's also, of course, tournaments that are going to be coming up, VIP passes that are Mojo token only, and more.
Awesome, man. And, I know Easy has some follow-up questions too. I would love to just quickly, though, ask how you guys are using Polygon to integrate into the token and gaming ecosystem, and what made you select Polygon?
Sure. I mean, Planet Mojo and Polygon, we have been close partners really almost since the beginning, since we got into this in early 22, so several years now. And I mean, why we chose them at the beginning is still true, and why we worked with Layer Zero to deploy our token first on ETH, but then on Polygon to our community. And it's really about the low gas costs. You know, for a gaming ecosystem where there's going to be so many in-game transactions, the low gas costs and efficiency. And then on top of that, I would say very bullish just on their future roadmap. with CDK and ag layer, I would just say it's something we're looking very closely at right now.
Epic. Yeah. I mean, we love partnering with them. It's awesome to learn about what Polygon has coming. Easy. Was there anything you want to dive into with Mike about Planet Mojo?
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I've played the game a few times with the auto battler component. So I'm curious, when you say an interoperable ecosystem of games, what other games are on the horizon?
Yeah, well, if you haven't checked it out, go to play.planetmojo.io, because there's like, it's really changed a lot recently in the last few weeks. It used to be you went there, you just saw Mojo Melee, right? Now we actually have a second fully playable game called GoGo Mojo. And because we really wanted to show this off, because previously, a few months ago, we had debuted our Mojo Maker. It's our on-chain avatar system where you can totally customize your mojos, all these different dress-up items, and it's going to be so much more of that coming. Partnerships. We actually just announced a huge partnership this morning with Talon Esports, from the APAC region. We're super excited about that. We're doing a Spaces later today with them about it. But back to your question, with GoGo Mojo, you can see that interoperability today. You can customize your mojo in Mojo Melee. We actually now broke the Mojo Maker itself out into a separate app. And then you can go into GoGo Mojo and have that same character. So we wanted to have that type of operability. In addition, our hard currency gems, if you buy it in Mojo Melee, you can use it in GoGo Mojo. And you can imagine our token, that integration is coming as well.
That's huge. And I think the other thing that I'm curious about here is the NFT side of it. So what does the NFT side look like? Because I know in Mojo Melee, all the characters were NFTs, which played a big part of it. I'm curious like how that works into the other side of the ecosystem, into all the different components. You mentioned a couple things there with like being able to customize them, change them. So I guess I'm curious, like, if someone wanted to get involved in the ecosystem from the NFT side, what would that look like today?
Yeah, I mean, totally. So like we, you know, our history, we were lucky enough and with the help of Polygon to be one of the only Web3 games that partnered with Amazon Prime Gaming. And that was amazing. I was going to talk about
that as well.
Cool. And that was amazing because we brought in so many new players, over 100,000 new players into the ecosystem. We also minted NFTs for all of them, right? So if you look at some of our collections, there's thousands and thousands of them because we really believe, even in the game today, that if we want to onboard the masses to this, we have to sort of give them that. We don't give it to them. That was a special thing with Amazon. But in Mojo Melee, for example, you kind of have to work. And it's not, you know, obvious there at the start. But once you level up your characters, you can then mint those into NFTs. And so those kind of become the base collections in games. And those do have rarities, of course. So, but within the Mojo Maker itself, like we're going to be, we already have released one-off, very, you know, isolated items that are very, you know, hard to get anywhere else, basically. So there's that side of it. We also recently released an ETH collection, our banner collection, which really marked this new chapter of Planet Mojo, debuting the new games, the ecosystem approach. We also recently showed off a Unreal Engine AAA game that's in stages that we're super excited about, that over time will become the flagship sort of product to Planet Mojo. I think there's going to be many touch points and other NFTs to come. I think the main thing with our NFTs to understand is we have in our game and outside of it now a collection tier system. That's what we call it. And it's very simple. It adds up points based on what NFTs you're holding. It's a combination of what rarity they are, but also how much you've played with the playable ones. And we've already done this. We basically, you get a rank, and based on your rank, that determined our first airdrop that we did for our community. And it's really kind of the gateway to all kinds of other rewards from Planet Mojo.
No, that's huge. The Amazon gaming side of things was something I was really interested in. You guys were one of the first, if not the first, to be on Amazon gaming from a Web3 front. How did you guys get involved in that? Like that's massive. And like you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of new players, many of which had no idea that there was even a Web3 component to the game.
Nope, they didn't. And I give Polygon huge credit and props because they really helped us pave the way there. Introductions and, you know, it wasn't easy. We had to work behind the scenes. We made a lot of tough choices because, like, you know, we're only so big a company. We got to put our resources, decide where we're going to put them. And, you know, we worked with Amazon behind the scenes for probably 6 months, getting it all ready, their tech flow. They have a very specific way it has to be done in terms of connecting your account from Prime Gaming and how you redeem the rewards each month, basically. So that all had to be set up behind the scenes. Then add on top of that, we're doing Web3, which they'd never done before, right? So that was like this whole other element, of course, we had to get through with them. We also partnered with Sequence, who I also give huge props to. And, you know, we looked at probably a dozen wallet providers at the time, including doing our own. And we chose Sequence just because they're a great company, great foundation, and great solution that what we felt, at least at the time, was the best to onboard players. And kind of like you said, and if you play the game today, like when you get to that point, if you don't have a wallet, we just kind of spin it up for you. And it's like click of a button. We do it for like Web2 players when, you know, treat it more as a reward moment, right? And then like, especially in mobile games, players aren't even thinking. It's like green button, good, got reward, click, you know, next thing they know, they got a wallet and an NFT. And it's like, hey, what the fuck just happened? So some of them are going to look a little deeper, right? We hope, and go, hey, what is this thing? What's the value? And that's where it gets kind of cool and interesting.
But I'm not even going to lie. As someone who's NFT native, I still use like Privy wallets and Sequence and stuff like that just because it's like, it's easier. I can just attach it to an email. I don't have to worry about a seed phrase, and knowing that only my game assets are in there helps kind of separate that, which I think is a big step forward. You mentioned the mobile side of this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say one thing about Sequence too, is that another reason we chose it, I know you guys are crypto bros, like it is an EVM non-custodial wallet, right? Like we care about that too, right? Like if we're going to be in this space and we're doing this for blockchain, like why the hell use a custodial wallet? Like that's what we came from, essentially. It's no different than Web2. So I just think that's an important point to make, you know, and to our users. We seem to do it all the time. We, of course, still support MetaMask. So we kind of write to Sequence, but anyone can move those into MetaMask or any kind of EVM wallet.
And I think that's a good note there. You had mentioned it subtly was if people get the reward, sometimes they dive deeper. Not everyone. But the ones that do tend to end up figuring out and going down the rabbit hole, which leads to a much deeper ecosystem integration into the Web3 side of things. You had mentioned the mobile side, and that's somewhere that I'm like pretty passionate about from the gaming front. For your guys' future at Planet Mojo and the Mojo ecosystem, how many of the games will be on mobile? And like, I guess, interoperability across different machines, PC, of course, Mac, things like that, just because understanding the mobile audience is much bigger than PC audience, especially on the game.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, Mojo Melee has been cross-platform, you know, since we debuted it. We've mainly developed it in the browser WebGL, but of course it's developed in Unity. And really that's one of our next big roadmap milestones coming out is the global mobile release of Mojo Melee. And it is out currently on beta, on Android, open beta. Anyone can download it. And it is actually live on iOS, soft launch, but only in about 5 countries. So if you're lucky enough to live in one of those countries, you can download it and check it out. But we're going to be making some big improvements to it over the next few weeks and really priming it. We're going to also, we're bringing on some studs from Web2 Gaming, some of our advisors and some amazing partners to blow this out, because there really just hasn't been many Web3 games that have been primed to take it to a mass audience. And, you know, I think we're ready to give that a shot. So yeah, to answer your question, we believe in cross-platform, and that is like the future of gaming. And to us, that's at least mobile and PC in some configuration. And of course it could grow from there as openness to blockchain, consoles, other places emerge. I've never been a huge fan, at least in this space, of like, okay, we're going to make a game, we're going to take out all the blockchain out of it to get it on Steam, you know, or a console. It's like, okay,
well, we've
great.
Seen the friendliness of like Epic Games, of course, being way more friendly, and they're finding some massive success on there. Like I look at a bunch of games that have been launching on there from Shrapnel and some of these others, and the Epic Game Store is like quickly gaining traction. Obviously the help of Fortnite really sends that pretty far because people need that just to then get more exposure. But like, there's a lot of stuff launching on there, and now Steam's turning around to it. You even have like Web3 native launchers like Elixir. And then on top of it, Apple and the Google Play Store have basically flipped overnight to be accepting of crypto games and even in-app purchases, which is crazy to see.
Well, and that's the thing. And yeah, you know, you can spin the PC side a little nicely, but the last thing you said is really like makes it more black and white. And like Apple and Google are literally like opening up their arms. I mean, we've worked with them directly. They've approved everything we're doing in the game. You know, an Epic, yes, it is a massive opportunity. And it's great that you can't get review bombed on there. But, you know, everything is a numbers game. And when you look at Epic compared to Steam, you can't be fooled by their numbers.
Playing field, to be honest.
Well, the main thing people don't realize is their numbers are great, but you said it. Those are largely Fortnite, right? Like when you hear about their daily active use, et cetera. So you think you're going to pull people from Fortnite? You know, it's a huge, it's the best opportunity there is out there. I fully agree. And maybe we'll all, you know, the seas will part and Steam will change their mind someday. But that's why for us, we are very bullish on mobile to sort of take this to the masses.
Well, it's what we saw with like things like Axie and more. That was just mobile friendly day one that led to a huge push for like the global audience. Cause it's also like from that standpoint, you can capture a much wider audience outside of the US that's like just more friendly to this side of gaming, which I'm really interested in.
Well, and one thing too, if you want to like get deep a little here, is like with Mojo Melee in particular, it's kind of like, so this is the thing, if you've played it, right? We really developed it to be a mobile free-to-play game. And like once you play it there, it's obvious. And I think like a lot of people who play it on PC, this is the issue with cross-platform. It's like you're instantly judging it as like a PC game, right? Like a deeper, like TFT, which we love, but we really built
Mojo Melee. I'm a huge TFT fan, which is why I liked Mojo Melee.
So are we. But like you think about our whole premise, our thesis with Mojo Melee was TFT is awesome, but it's not really mobile friendly. Like,
have you tried the mobile of TFT?
Oh, yeah. First time I played it, brutal. I couldn't get into matches three times. And if you do, they could take 30 to 40 minutes to finish, right? So, no, I was writing my engineers who've been playing it for years, like, because this is back in 2021, and we were, and there's just like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like play it on the PC. Play it on the PC. So we just thought there was an opportunity to sort of bring this to mobile, put in free to play patterns, shorter matches, but still have that depth if you want to go deep with it, with ranks and battle passes. So yeah, that's a sort of, I think once it comes to mobile, like people realize like, oh, okay, this is where I should have been playing it. But we always want people to be able to jump and back and forth.
Makes sense. And I guess that's kind of the next question too, is like the interoperability across mobile and PC. It's all just user account, correct? So they'll be able to just stream.
It's totally the same account, same user. We're on the mobile side, we don't really like connect a wallet, but you can do that on the PC, and then you get all those benefits on the mobile side as well. So anything you're playing on mobile, you're ranking up. It's totally interconnected. One account. We're actually going to be, here's a little more alpha. We're going to have a web shop soon as well.
Nice. So just
right on the web. You won't have to go into the games. Just be able to buy. I'll start slowly with gems, but it will accept Mojo and more.
Perfect. That's always a big add too. I guess last kind of question here that I mainly had on this was, if somebody wanted to get involved right now and try Planet Mojo, what would be the best course of action that they could take right now?
I mean, if you want to dive right into the games, go to play.planetmojo.io. You can dive into any one of the games. You can make an account. If you want to learn more, of course, go to our website, planetmojo.io, our Twitter, our Discord. Those are really the main touch points.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow on Twitter at We Are Planet Mojo. Awesome questions, Easy. Really great to dig into the game. Mike, thanks so much for joining, man.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Great to see legitimate gaming entities continuing to build in the space. Definitely check out Planet Mojo. Easy just did a fantastic line of, you know, interview questions for Mike. That was awesome. And we'll make sure to clip that and post it to Twitter so that people can get like recaps. Anyway, this was the Daily Bone podcast. We do this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week, available on Apple and Spotify podcast, Twitter Spaces, X platform video, YouTube, wherever you get your content. We are there. We'll be back on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everybody has a great weekend. And keep doing your thing all weekend long.